You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
A club isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar is where I go.
Ed Sheeran, he's Irish. My ancestors were Irish. I'm not, though. Je suis American. 4th of July. Okay. I don't do St. Patrick's Day. And my friends hate that are Irish, but they can stick it up their ass. That's the way it goes. Joining me, I don't know if Ferguson, that might be more English than anything, right? So.
Scott's Irish.
So you're one of those big down to the Blarney Stone. Ily be daddy, lady. Do you do that bullshit? Is that your deal?
No, I think that ended with my grandpa, but we still joke around about it.
All right. First of all, let's reintroduce you to everybody. You're born and raised where?
Rockville Center, New York, Long Island.
There you go. He's a Long Island guy. And why'd you join the Marine Corps?
Well, you know, product of the 9/11 generation, so had a very close up and first hand look at that. Had a big impact on my town. We lost about 30 parents, big commuter town for New York City and the financial district where I grew up. But then also just the challenge of the Marine Corps and earning something that nobody can give you and nobody can take from you. It's something you have to do on your own. That was very appealing to me.
But no family connection, no dad.
Dad was a Marine in the late 60s, early 70s. Never applied any direct pressure, but it was always something that I admired. And my family has a long history of service to the country, and it was something that I believe was important. And so that's how I got on the track.
All right, so. So you wind up as an Artie guy. You wind up in Afghanistan at the Kajaki Dam. You come out. You come back. You get out. Tell everybody where life's taken you since you got out of the Marine Corps. What do you do professionally? And then we'll talk about what we're going to talk about today, which is reunions. But we'll talk about the Warrior Reunion Foundation. So tell everybody your path since you got out of the Marine Corps.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of people probably experience this, but when you take off the uniform, it really becomes kind of an identity crisis in a way, and that is how everybody knew you, and my whole adult life was up to that point as a Marine, and so even people introduce you, this is James, my buddy the Marine, or for my wife and her family and others, that's just kind of how you're defined, and so when that uniform comes off, you kind of go through that, like, well, who am I now? What's my purpose here? So, I stumbled around a little bit in the management consulting world, which is kind of an easy soft landing for a lot of military officers coming off active duty. Realized I didn't want to do that, and so had the opportunity to move into the healthcare space, specifically working in behavioral health. I had a very deep personal connection. I saw the need while wearing the uniform, both in me and in my Marines, and that there just weren't a lot of good options for us out there for people who. We just need a little bit of support and some help with mental fitness, not necessarily, like that deep clinical stuff. But, hey, I'm just stressed out. I'm having a hard time. I've been through some things. My family's a little bit stressed out. How do I deal with this? And there weren't many good options out there. So I had the opportunity to go build a program called the Military Family Life Counseling Program that embeds mental health professionals in military units, active duty, reserve, guard, around the world. And so spent about 3 years helping to build up that program. My focus was on keeping our counselors culturally competent, making sure that what I would always say to them is it's not enough to be a great psychologist or a great social worker in this program. When you're working with the military community, with military families, you have to go beyond that. You have to really understand the culture, speak the language, know the unique challenges that are faced by the people who serve and their families. So my main focus was on the cultural competency of our workforce and making sure that as we integrated counselors and embedded them in typically battalion-sized units around the world, actually, that they were able to fit in and understood their place in the unit and what they were there for. did that for about 3 years, moved on to another healthcare program that serves veterans, spent some time building up the field operations team for that program. And then most recently, I've moved more into the entrepreneurial space. Always been a goal of mine, mentor of mine, purchased a company, a small business, and asked me to come run it and help grow it. So I've been doing that for about the past 5 months or so.
Yeah, being an entrepreneur is, it can be really fun and it can really suck. Where do you fall out on that spectrum? This morning, where are you on that spectrum?
That's a, you know, it's funny you should ask that question today, because literally before we jumped on here, I had to go take a walk to cool off for a second, because today's one of those days where it's like everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong all at once. When you have some big things coming up. We're an event-based business. We do craft soda, but it's all through event distribution. So right. We go to fairs and festivals and Comic-Cons and all these different things around the country, and we create this experience around this Wild West-style old-fashioned soda. And so there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of logistics involved in it, trucks, trailers, big custom-made soda stands, and people and getting to places around the country. It's actually a lot like a 3 and a 4 shop at a battalion.
I was gonna say
there's a ton of parallels, but you know, we're growing really fast, which is great, but it also comes with its own set of challenges in matching people and equipment and all those things to the need that's out there. And so yeah, today's one of those days. It's a little frustrating, but I would say if you've been able to handle a combat environment, or even just, you know, leadership in a stressful military environment, you can handle this, and you should give it a shot. I think, you know, it's not for everybody, but what I learned in my relatively short time working in, you know, like the Fortune 500 world, is it's an illusion of safety. You're never really safe. People think they're taking a safe path by working for a big company, getting benefits and all those things, but you're not really safe. And quite often, unfortunately, that company doesn't really care about you or your development. And it's different when you're out there for yourself, and you can create a culture in an organization that you believe in, and hire good people and give them opportunities for growth, and really bet on yourself. You know, why not give that a shot if you have the opportunity to do so? So I would highly encourage it, despite the frustration that I am experiencing today.
You know, it's ironic, but you know, All Marine Radio is essentially a family business. You know, a lot of times when you look at data relative to what you do, and you're like, you're almost wincing as you look, like, is this going to be bad or good? But you know, we have done almost 500,000 downloads in the last year.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Starting from zero, and we don't advertise. Because it's not in the budget, right? So we don't advertise. It's only by word of mouth and by social media platforms and whatnot. You know, 3.5 million visitors to the website in the last 14 months alone. But let me tell you, it's not for the faint of heart. Because farmers go through this all the time, and when you lose a business, it's not without other collateral damage. Most of it to you,
yeah,
personally and financially, to you and your family. So, it's certainly not for the faint of heart. I want to talk about, we could talk about entrepreneurship, for a while, but we won't. Last time we talked about your career, and your foundation. Let's talk about what do we do? Because the average reunion is going to be hanging out, eating, drinking, telling stories, and catching up with people. All right.
Yeah.
And a lot of drinking involved in it, because that tends to be what Marines do away from work. They go out in the bar, and you know, they're young guys, and they go out and they run the streets and they laugh and they have a good time, and that's what they know. So they replicate that. May or may not be the best thing for a weekend, or some of that might be, but not the whole weekend. So talk to us, what is the concept behind Warrior Reunions?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think definitely there's a lot about it is about seeing the people that you serve with and having a great time. We don't apologize for the fact that I think everybody who's served downrange together has earned the right to have a beer together, sit around a bonfire, and share war stories and talk about where their life is now compared to where it was when they got out and the things that they're dealing with. There's a place for that and there's value in that. Our approach is just that you need to go beyond that to really capitalize on the rare opportunities where you have the majority of a unit that served together in combat and did amazing things together. It's very rare that you've got a big group of those guys or guys and girls in some cases together in one place. And don't waste that opportunity just sitting around getting drunk. You can do that anytime. Don't do that when you have this tremendous opportunity to really reconnect and to show yourselves, to show some of your unit members who may be struggling, and to show the greater community wherever you're having this reunion, because we do them in communities around America based on, you know, wherever the unit kind of wants to do it that we're supporting, to show them that veterans are not the stereotype that you see on TV. We're not broken. We're not some disadvantaged, underserved population that needs a handout and wants you to feel sorry for us. We are capable. We're resilient. We're the future leaders, the current leaders, frankly, that this country so desperately needs. And we are the best examples of what America has to offer. So we try to do all that in a very organic way through our reunions. We have three pillars: service, wellness, and camaraderie, and they guide everything we do. No two reunions are the same. We really try to walk through a guided planning process with each unit that we serve and help them realize their reunion vision. But those are the three pillars that we test every decision against. And if we stay true to those principles of service, wellness, and camaraderie, we know that we're going to have a great event. And we incorporate those three things in each reunion service, typically through a service project in the local community or a board, whatever facility is gracious enough to host us for the reunion. Wellness by bringing in a variety of other organizations that serve veterans that we have vetted and worked with that we know are good organizations, who come spend some time with the guys during breakfast and just say, hey, here's who I am, here's who I work for, here's what I can do for you. If you're facing challenge XYZ, if you're having trouble with getting your education benefits, if you want to learn more about how to enroll for veterans benefits, whatever it is, I'm here, I'm hanging out on the farm today. If you want to learn more one-on-one, come talk to me. If not, that's fine too. I've got some material here you can choose to take with you if you want. And then the camaraderie factor is getting that warrior spirit back. So we'll introduce some fun competitions. So for example, a reunion we have coming up in about 2 weeks, they're going to do kind of an old school warrior competition of squads competing in archery, hatchet throwing. We've even got one of those blow up American Gladiator battling courses for them to compete on. So it's fun. I mean, we have a great time, but it's about more than just having a great time. It's about really rebuilding that peer support network that carried you through some tough times together, and we'll do so again if you nurture it.
My guest, James Ferguson. So do I have to hold hands with anybody? Do I have to do anything that might make me uncomfortable? Do I have to have like reveal myself? Do I have to
No.
What so we do all this and so what happens on the aftermath as opposed to the way, so compare and contrast, if you will, the normal let's go get drunk, maybe somebody will get into
right.
a fight, that'll be hilarious reunion with something that you would put together. And what does it cause the group to use you guys, and how do they do it?
Yeah, it costs them nothing. All we ask for is their time. And what we tell every unit is we're going to be as committed to making your reunion a success as you are, not more so. I don't believe in handouts. We expect each unit to put together a planning committee of 3 to 5 members, because for me to plan a reunion for you, that doesn't accomplish anything, and it's not going to create the best reunion experience for those that you serve with. Each unit is unique. Each experience is unique. And we really ask them to lead the process, because then this is a reunion that's being put on by my brothers who I served with, not by some organization that's going to dictate to us, you know, what we should do this weekend. So it's planned by them and for them, and we just guide them along the way. You don't have to hold hands. You can if you want to. I think what you'll find is, in most cases, people don't come expecting to be as impacted by it as they are. And that's the feedback that we get so frequently is, I thought this was just going to be either hanging out or some like mixed hanging out slash dog and pony where I have to listen to somebody tell me why I should go talk to a counselor for a little while and kind of jump through that hoop so I can have a good time and all that. It's none of those things. It's really the experience itself and reconnecting in that field-based environment in a way, because we don't do hotels, we don't do the sterile banquet environment where everybody, you know, has a big banquet dinner and then, you know, goes out and gets drunk or hides in their hotel room or whatever. It's, we get back together on farms, ranches, retreats, outdoor retreats with cabins around a lake, things like that. And kind of let you guys just get back in the field together and enjoy each other's company and reconnect. And I think you'll find that the things that come out just from that experience, are very valuable in helping people understand that I do still have a support network. I do still have brothers and sisters in arms who care about me, that I can call on when I'm going through a tough time. And I'm here for them if they're going through a tough time. It really does create, it renews the bond that was created in many cases years ago, during combat. And that's what we're really focused on. But it's not an in-your-face, kind of approach. It really happens based on the experience.
Interesting. All right, so we're going to take a break, and we're going to get Dan Robertson on. I told everybody a little bit about Dan. He and I served together in Iraq in 2004. And how did you cross paths with Dan Robertson?
Yeah, Dan was the college roommate of my company commander. But we had met years after I got back. My company commander, a guy named Rich Stinnett, had a fishing boat down in Quantico, and we would go out fishing a lot. We lived near each other, and Dan came to visit one time and went out fishing with us, and we just kind of hit it off and stayed in touch. And since then, developed a pretty strong relationship. We had shared some similar combat experiences in the sense of what it's like to lose a Marine and how you deal with that and how do you continue to fulfill your responsibility as a leader and taking care of your men long after you're out or the uniform comes off. And we just kept in touch. And then when Warrior Reunion Foundation was coming about and when I launched this organization, I was thinking about, you know, what units, because like you said, there's no advertising budget for us either. It's all word of mouth. So you have to get a few of these things under your belt before people start noticing that you're out there. And so I reached out to Dan and was like, hey, here's what I'm doing. I know Rich told you about the reunion that we had for our unit and what a powerful experience it was. I know you guys have not seen each other in a long time, and I would love to do a reunion for your platoon if you're up for it. And, he reached out to a few of the other guys, and they were very interested. And so we started going through that process of, okay, let's stand up a planning committee. Let's start talking about what you guys would like to accomplish. Where do you want to do it? What types of activities? Who do you want to invite? All those kinds of things. And, you know, we just kind of went from there and spent about 3 months together planning that reunion and executed the reunion last September, so September 2017, and it was just another great experience. I mean, for me, having the opportunity to join them, listen to their stories. Dan and I also share a Marine, so one of his Lance Corporals grew up to be one of my squad leaders and was wounded pretty severely on our deployment to Afghanistan. And, so we were bonded based on that as well, but yeah, it was just an amazing experience, and Dan's a tremendous leader, so it made it easy.
Got it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get Dan Robinson on the hook, and we'll continue our discussions. And the first thing I want to talk about when we come out of the break, after we introduce Dan, is, you know, this is the year of the reunion for the Marine Corps, and I want to talk about that. Why is that important? Why would the Commandant do such a thing? You know, why do we need reunions anyway? I want to touch on that real quick as we introduce Dan Robertson. My guest today is James Ferguson. He is the CEO and founder of the Warrior Reunion Foundation. And so we're talking about it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
With the quick fuse, I was uptight, wanna let loose, I was dreaming of bigger things.
You know, both these guys are arty guys on the program. And when I hear this song, you know what I think of?
Take a number.
It's called The Thunder.
Before the thunder.
If you've ever heard it, pretty impressive. In fact, Robertson's favorite thing to walk in and say, out of nowhere, is the king is angry today. And that's when you knew he had some kind of personal issue brewing. Anyway, joining me, Dan Robertson joins us now. And James Ferguson continues with us. First of all, Dan, welcome to All Marine Radio. The first time you've been on this. He's been on my program before. It was Mac Talk back in the day. But thanks for doing this. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Mac. Thanks so much for having me. And hey, James.
Hey, what's up, Dan?
All right. Now, before we get to Dan, I could tell stories about Robertson all day. I counseled him so many times, it was a joke. Okay. A lot of it was more berating than counseling. Is that fair, Dan?
That's fair, and I was somewhat expecting the same thing, Mac, today, but I guess we'll just see.
No,
how it
no,
goes.
No, no. I'm going to be nice today. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice. The but before, so we'll get into that here in a minute, but Dan's part is important in telling this whole story about reunions. But I want to kind of walk it back a little bit. Commandant has said that this year is the year of the reunion. James, talk about that. What's significant about the reunion? Why would the Commandant put such emphasis on it?
I was really glad to see that when he did it, and it was kind of funny because we were just getting our legs under us with Warrior Reunion Foundation, and I was like, wow, does he know about us? Did we have anything to do with it? I highly doubt it, but I think it's a recognition of the fact that during a very difficult time in our country's history and during the longest war that we fought, and with a lot of identity challenges that we're facing in the Marine Corps as well, with some of the issues that we've seen over the course of the past few years, we can answer the question of who we really are by going back to our roots and reconnecting with the people that we accomplished such great things with on the battlefield and elsewhere. But I think the year of the reunion from a Marine Corps perspective is more about going back to what it really means to be a Marine, taking care of each other, doing the right things for the right reasons, honor, courage, commitment, all that stuff that's drilled into us at our boot camp, roster candidate school. When you're out there moving so quickly and dealing with such a challenging environment, it's easy to make those small compromises that over time can lead you so far away from your core values. And you don't notice it until you're so far away that you're like, how the hell did I get here? And we see that in life too, I think, especially when we get out, and I stopped and looked at myself a few years after leaving the military and was like, who am I now? What is this? What? How am I making decisions that I end up here when I used to be here? And getting back together with the people you were with when you were your best self, I think really reminds you, I have this capability in me, and people are still expecting me to live up to those values. And so I think it's really important for each individual Marine and other branches of service as well, and it's extremely important for the Marine Corps right now.
All right. And again, I would tell you, I would say the bottom line for the Commandant is suicide. Suicide and post-combat related mental health. And Vietnam veterans are finding it in spades as they have reconnected and kind of come out from the deep freeze that they've been in because nobody wanted to talk to them. As they've been accepted into parades and all kinds of stuff that they never dreamed in their life would happen to them, they deal with it. And guys who served in our longest wars continue to deal with it. So, but I think at the end of it, it is the remedy that reconnecting applies to suicide. To mitigating that and to stopping that, because I think we can all say there is nothing more crushing than to get a phone call or an email that says that somebody that you know took their own life because they couldn't deal with theirs anymore after they've survived what they survived, and it's just that is just absolutely brutal. Dan, talk about so this idea comes up, you have it in your head about a reunion. Where does your idea for a reunion come in? Why do you want to do it? Is it just getting people together? Was there any other broader motive for it? Talk to us about what you guys were doing, and then we'll talk about how you and James kind of intersect here.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mac. Yeah, yep. I think what was really powerful was listening to, as James already mentioned, a mutual friend that we have, Rich Danette, and his experience with his reunion and reconnecting with his Marines, having to reconnect with one another. Honestly, I've never been a real reunion guy, Mac. I'm not anti-reunion. I've never gone to a high school reunion. I've never gone to a college reunion. So it's never been something huge to me. So when James called me and, was talking about his Warrior Reunion Foundation, their mission, and maybe having our unit to participate in it. I was listening all ears, and as he explained it to me, it seemed kind of two missions jumped out to me, or two objectives. One was to reconnect everybody, as James said, in a meaningful way. Someone struggling, or just, curious about more services and things that they may need. to kind of take their life to the next level. That was a very interesting to me because that seemed very meaningful, a great purpose. And then the second item was honoring, our Marine that was killed, Chance Phelps, on April 9th of 2004, through our efforts at the reunion. So to answer your question, Matt, I think it was those two things. It was, or three things, excuse me. Rich's powerful experience at his reunion, and then the ability to reconnect guys in a meaningful way and also honor the fallen.
All right, so you guys cross paths. So where does the actual floating, how do you guys find out about, do you guys work on this together? How does your idea for a reunion, Dan, intersect with James's Warrior Reunion Foundation?
Great question. So what happens is James calls me and talks about what he's got going and, what we'd like for our platoon to participate, which is just a humbling offer in and of itself that we would even be, considered for this. It's a huge opportunity, which hopefully we can expand upon a little bit. But we talk about it, and basically what James and Drew kind of lay out is the kind of the methodology, but not the way to skin the cat. So we spend a lot of time. The planning committee is critical. It was myself and Ben Wormington from our unit, and then my former platoon sergeant and some others that made tremendous contributions as well. So basically you form that group, and it's James, Drew, myself, other leaders from small unit leaders from our unit, and then James and Drew have tremendous support from other volunteers and members of their staff. So it's certainly a team effort. And basically, Matt, the first order of business is kind of James and Drew, I think, getting a feel for your unit, its personality, what area of operation, the timeline that it operated in during, and kind of the nature of the mission. Because as James said earlier, and as you know, each unit is unique. It has its own personality. It had its own mission. So really, I would say the foundation for the reunion is that initial phone call and formation of that team to identify objectives and what is important in how you're going to reconnect your Marines. So I would say that's the first step, and that kind of gets you out of the gate with planning. And then basically we had phone calls. I think it was every 2 weeks initially, and then as we got closer to the event, as James mentioned, September 17th, it was weekly. But truthfully, much to probably James and Drew's dismay, they were on the phone with me regularly. Just kind of working out the final details. So there's kind of this crescendo of activity at the end. But really, you're in contact for months planning this thing.
All right. James, your thoughts on all of that? We talk about in the theoretical, but you guys actually do it real world. And so round out some of the things Dan said.
Yeah, so the way we operate, and Drew St. Cyr is my program director. He's one of my squad leaders in Afghanistan, and got himself shot early into our deployment, and ended up evacuated back to the States. And anyway, when I started this thing, I knew, hey, I've got a career. I'm not doing this to give myself a job. I want to do this because I believe this organization and the mission that we have needs to happen. And so I need somebody who can run it and can really take the lead on the day-to-day, and I'll provide the higher-level kind of support from administrative and fundraising and all those things, but really somebody who's working with each unit we support to make sure the reunion is a success. And that guy's Drew. He's one of those fire-and-forget staff NCOs who I know I can say, hey, man, that's the direction of the objective, go, and he's going to make it happen. So Drew and I are involved with every unit that we work with, just like Dan's. We start off with an initial kickoff call to introduce our organization, learn a little bit about their experience, as Dan shared, and then talk them through, what do you guys want to accomplish? Here's what we can offer you, and we provide all planning and logistics support. We provide all the financial support required for the reunion. All we ask of you guys is to take ownership of this, to make sure that everybody who served in this unit knows that it's happening and knows that they need to be there. And we'll walk with you every step of the way to make sure that it's successful. So in a series of planning calls that we schedule, as Dan mentioned, first biweekly, and then as we get closer to the event, typically every week, we'll just touch base. And it's a long kind of begin with the end in mind. What do we want to accomplish on the day of the reunion? And then it's just backwards planning from there. Okay, 3 months out, what do we need to accomplish for the next 30 days? And we just take it chunk at a time. And the big three is, where do you want to have the reunion? What area of the country? How many people do you expect? If everybody showed up from the unit, how many people would that be? And what time of year? And then once you can answer those questions for us, then we start to execute a search for host locations that kind of fit with our model and will serve the need that from a personnel perspective and everything. And then we present those as a palette of options and say, hey, here's a bunch of different places where you guys could do this. Here's the facilities they offer. Here's the activities they offer. Here's the location of the country. What's your favorite? And they pick one, and we go through to come to an agreement with that location. And then from there, everything kind of just falls into place. It's planning out all the logistics. It's a lot like planning a field op, actually, which is why it comes pretty naturally to Drew. It's something he was doing as my ops chief for a while. And we just walk through that process with them and are there every step of the way when they have special requests, designing t-shirts, coming up with a commemorative gift, inviting guests of honor to speak to the group, all those kinds of things to make sure that it's a great experience. I think for Dan's guys, we were able to coordinate a trip to the National Museum of the Marine Corps and bust everybody back and forth to there and got them a private tour and a private lunch at the museum. And a lot of them had not been able to be there. And, as he mentioned, a big part of what we do as well is a memorial service for any fallen. We invite Gold Star families to every reunion, if that's, part of the equation. And we do a memorial service, a proper memorial service for any member of the unit who was killed in action or in some cases, depending on the unit's approach, took their life thereafter to honor what they did and to honor their memory. And those are powerful. I mean, those are very poignant experiences. And we had the privilege of learning about Chance and hearing the stories of Chance Phelps that, weren't even for those familiar with the movie. The stuff you don't even see in the movie, just what was Chance like as a man and what did he mean to this unit? We had a chance to talk about that, and that was pretty special. That's a big part of what we do too. And so we go through all that and work together, and it's a joint effort. We're with them every step of the way, but they're the ones doing the work as well to make sure that this reunion lives up to what the unit deserves.
So Dan, was it, let's forget James is on the line. Was it good? Was it lame? Was it good? Was it lame? Were you like standing around, people yelling at you, go here, do this? Your thoughts, being a consumer?
Life-changing, Matt. It really was. It was life-changing. And I don't think until you go through it and you're able to reconnect with the guys, and again, and there were a couple beers consumed, don't get me wrong, but that wasn't the focus of, it was kind of funny. I think one of the guys, and somehow there was a bottle of liquor that showed up. I don't think it was touched. I just don't think people were interested. That wasn't what it was about. It was a life-changing experience. And then I'm sure your follow-up question is why.
Yeah, why?
Which is a lot. It's a logical question.
Why was it life-changing? Because if we had a reunion and our guys show up, it's going to change some people's lives no matter what. How was this different? What was the value added in working with the Warrior Reunion Foundation?
Probably too much for the call, Mac, honestly, but I'll try to prioritize. The way that James and his guys set it, and his team, excuse me, set it up is that basically you have this, you're not focused on the logistics of the reunion. I think that is probably one of the biggest things, Mac, honestly, is we as leaders, when we go to the field, you're focused on all the logistics and everything. I mean, how many times have you been in the field and as a leader actually able to necessarily do the training? Obviously a lot of times you're focused on logistics. This is not the case here. For the planning committee, there's planning involved, but really you show up and the focus is, reconnecting and learning about additional services and how the guys are doing. So I'd say that's the biggest thing, is that the focus is completely and totally on the interaction, not on the next event and squaring away all that stuff. And it might not seem like a whole lot, but that's a huge component to this, where you can just show up and focus. There are times Marines always offer to help, and James and his staff are politely decline because they don't want you involved in that. They want you involved in the activity itself and kind of the reconnection process with your guys. Some of these guys, Mac, I hadn't seen since, you know, 2004. Some of them I hadn't spoken to since 2004. Some of them I had, you know, maintained connections, and I will tell you, since the reunion, I've spoken to more of them, even if they didn't attend. Guys reaching out a little bit and let me know what's going on in their lives. So I would say that the biggest thing, that why it's different, is because the focus is completely and totally on the reconnection and arranged services that guys need and making them aware of what's out there. And then the activities that you do, there isn't a ton of sitting around. I mean, I don't think there's any sitting around. I was happy to hear that James wasn't going to make his gig every night for you know, posterity. but we all did live in a tent, you know, for two or three days on cots, and slept in the same hooch, and it's good, because those are the good interactions where you have the opportunity to sit down and talk, and it may just be from event to event. You have a one-on-one with somebody that, you know, may want to chat or something like that. So, I mean, the drone on here, Mac, I'm sorry, but that is, I think, what makes it different, is that the focus is 100% on the process. But just to also say that the reunion is a reflection, I think, of the unit's personality and what's important to the unit. A lot of the decisions that we made, you know, there were things arrayed in front of us, but then, we would, on the committee, myself and Ben and others, would look at examine it, and then Ben would go out to the guys and say, hey, what do you guys think? And obviously we couldn't do everything, but even location. A lot of guys had an interest in the Marine Corps Museum and that region, so that was why we settled on or decided on Virginia. So everything is done. You kind of identify what your priorities are and how you want it done. And then James and Drew are the quickest to yes I've ever found. They will find a way to get it done. Again, as long as it's the important thing to any prospective person or group or unit that is looking to do this, is you have to be just as committed, as committed as they are to getting it done. So I'd say those are the biggest things, I think, to your question that make it different.
What was it like to go through the National Museum of the Marine Corps with your guys? It's interesting. I had General Christmas on. We were talking about his career, the Battle of Way City, and then, you know, oh, by the way, he's one of the shakers and movers in creating that. I said, are you surprised at what it's become? He said, yes. He said, even in our wildest dream, we did not think it would be, it's bigger than we thought it would be, because it has now become essentially Valhalla of the Marine Corps. It has become the cathedral for those of us that are Catholics. It must have been pretty cool to go through that with your Marines that you were in Iraq with, because there's an awful lot of stuff from Iraq in that museum that I'm sure brought back memories. What was that like?
It was all part of the experience. It was great, and thankfully I had been to the museum a couple of times prior, so I had something to compare it to. And every time you go in there is an amazing time. You see something, you smell something, or, you know, it's just experience something different every time. It's an amazing place. But this time with the guys, it was great. And the way that we did this, and James is being very humble, but the way that this worked is we left, our reunion, location on Sunday morning with an escort from Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, and then also, a bunch of veterans on motorcycles that escorted the bus to the museum.
Wow.
With the paintings of Chance Phelps in the on the bus, so he was with us there. So and that was, you know, again, the interconnectivity of generations, I think, was really important to James and Drew too, where a lot of the people that were there were Vietnam veterans that obviously never had this opportunity, and hopefully in the future they will, but I never had this opportunity. So when we arrived with this escort to the museum, there were dozens of folks out there with American flags welcoming us to the museum, shaking our hands, and you know, it was a great opportunity to say thank you to them for participating, taking time out of their day, to welcome us. So in a word, humbling. It was humbling to go through that with the guys and to see all the museum, both inside and out. As you know, Mac, the outside grounds are gorgeous as well.
Right. No, absolutely.
So in a word, humbling, but more specifically, that's why.
My guest today, Dan, what did you get out of the Marine Corps at? What was your rank?
I got out as a captain.
Captain. One more and you would have been majors. Backbone of the Marine Corps, baby. The Captain Dan Robertson and James, you got out as a captain as well?
I did.
All right. A couple of skippers here. James Ferguson, he is the founder and CEO of the Warrior Reunion Foundation. So Dan, bottom line is that all that extra effort created an environment that simply allowed you guys to focus on each other and reconnect. And when I say reconnect, I don't mean, I guess the underlying piece of this is you're not hopefully just going to reconnect for that weekend.
Exactly, Mac. Exactly. It kind of shapes hopefully future engagements. We already have one planned to go out to see Chance's family next year, which will be, as you know, will mark 15 years since his death. So,
wow.
This event will just hopefully shape future engagements and let guys know that, hey, you know, no one has forgotten and we all want to continue. Everybody's busy with life. You know, it's not about having to spend hours and hours reconnecting. It's just to do it in a meaningful way and just to know that, there's this network of people out there, that you served with, that you went through some things with, that are touchable. You know, you can, and I think seeing them in person is powerful, so that when you have subsequent interactions with them, whether it be via text message, social media, email, whatever it is, phone call, it means something too. And I think even the guys that couldn't make it heard about the event and, probably are more likely to, come the next time if they can, if the schedule permits. But I think if I could just kind of stay around here, I think that on the memorial service that James mentioned for the fallen, our Marine that was killed, we worked very closely with, Gretchen, John, Jeff, the family, Chance's family, to make it what he would want. Obviously we all knew him, but we wanted to ask his mom, his family, how do we best do this? And so a lot of the activities that we did were kind of, bonfire, somewhat low key stuff, because that's really what Chance would have been about. So the whole time as guys are connecting, they're kind of doing so, with his thumbprint on it. And that makes it really, really, really neat as well.
Wow. Was the Phelps family involved in they were certainly involved in that type of planning, but it also offered them a forum to communicate with all of you, yes?
It was, yeah. They had commitments. They live out in Wyoming, so they had some commitments, some family commitments, pre-existing family commitments. But what James did for the ceremony, Mac, was they live streamed it on Facebook.
Wow.
So that, that they could participate. Then obviously that kind of is memorialized, so they can view it. They did view it. And I talked to Gretchen, Chance's mom, quite a bit, thankfully. Humbling to be part of her life and her family's life. We're just thankful for that. And she just was so thankful to be part of it, even remotely, so to speak. She couldn't be there. But she talks to a lot of the guys, and this was an opportunity, again, for the family to see that no matter how many years go by, it just doesn't matter, that every single day we wake up and think about Chance and his family, his sacrifice, and his family's sacrifice.
All right. One more question for you, Dan, and that is, okay, what difference did all of that make after? Are your guys more connected now? Because to me, honestly, and the Commandant said this, and so I'm kind of paraphrasing his quote, just because you got off active duty doesn't mean that I, as a Commandant of the Marine Corps, don't expect that you're going to continue to lead Marines, because your Marines need you. You're never not going to be their CO. You're never not going to be their platoon commander. You will be that forever, and you need to lead. How is it impacted your guys as a group? Has it been a good thing? Do they stay in touch more? Are they more connected? Because that's ultimately the goal, so that when people do have issues, that there's other battle buddies that are there that hop in and say, hey, man, what do you need? How can we help? We're here for you.
You know, Mac, I think they do. Obviously, I don't know, you know, exactly every conversation how
right.
the guys, I can only speak again from my experience, and I am talking to more guys now than I was in August. And so, you know, I think that is a very important component. So the brief answer to your question is yes. On my end, we are staying connected, and I think too that, you know, guys are reaching out if they have a question or they may be, you know, struggling a little bit with something. They're much more likely, I think, to reach out and say, hey, you know, what about this? And I do think you're right that, you know, you as a, you know, as a leader of the unit, you know, you still, you know, it was the most humbling experience of my life to be able to, be part of that unit. And then to lead it was an amazing experience. So you want to stay dialed in with the guys and let them know that, hey, I may not have the answer, but I'll find it for you if you need some help. So, I think it'll grow. I do. I think that it's something that it wasn't too long ago that this happened, and we're already at this reunion in September. Had tentatively planned the next one to occur in Wyoming. So, yes, I'd say yes. Everybody, not only are they more connected now, but they're, I believe, more likely to be connected in the future.
All right. Dan Robertson, former captain, artillery type. He and I served together in Ramadi when General Kelly was the assistant division commander to General Mattis. And Dan was the... essentially the aide for General Kelly. He commanded his personal security platoon that bombed around Iraq with the general. And so we served together there. Also with us is former captain, United States Marine Corps. And don't send me emails saying, Mac, there's no such thing as former Marines. It just means they're not on active duty anymore, ass bags. Okay, James Ferguson. He is the CEO and founder of Warrior Reunion Foundation. James, obviously, it must make your heart grow like the Grinch's heart grew when he heard the Who people singing on Christmas to hear that. That's obviously the purpose, right, of what you do.
Yeah, yeah, it's why we exist. We do one thing, we do reunions, it's all we're ever going to do. We're not looking to be everything to everybody or some big... organization. This is what we do. This is all we do. We know how to do it well. And we love working with other combat veterans to give them that experience that Dan just kind of described so well of, oh my God, I can't believe we waited this long. We got to do this again next year. It really is, you have to experience it for yourself to understand the power of it. And I didn't until I had my reunion, which was going to be a one-off thing of me just wanting to get my guys back together. And it was so powerful that it was like, oh my God, we have to do this for other people. So to hear that from him and to know the impact that it's had on him and his Marines and the other units that we've supported as well, that's the best validation for us. When I get a note that says, I almost didn't come because I thought it was going to be, frankly, bullshit. And I can't believe I almost missed it because it changed my life. And that, to me, that's it.
Bullshit. Unbelievable. The, all right, email question. Mac, I heard that it doesn't cost anything. So the only thing working with the Warrior Reunion Foundation costs us are the expenses of whatever we design as a group? James? Ferg?
Yeah. Yeah, so the way it works... for us is, again, we don't charge anything. We just ask for your time and your commitment. The only thing we ask of any participant, any attendee of the reunion is if you can get yourself to the reunion, wherever it is, get there. We take care of the rest. Don't worry about anything else. If you can't get yourself there, all you have to do is ask and we will get you there. So we can either book flights or provide gas cards or whatever somebody needs, find somebody to pick you up and bring you on their way.
whatever somebody needs to get there, we'll get you there. And once you're there, we take care of everything. So, yeah, nobody has to pay anything for our services.
All right. The question, how are you funded?
Privately, just the generosity of some people who have heard our story and made donations. We're a 501c3, so all support we receive is tax deductible. And fundraising is, I tell people, the toughest battle to combat. And at least then I knew what direction to point the weapon in. Now it's like, man, where do I? I am by no means a professional fundraiser, and trust me, the results will confirm that. But I've been lucky, blessed, whatever you want to call it, to stumble into a few people who have been in my life, some in for a very long time, others just recently, who heard about what we do and wanted to help other combat veterans get back together and reconnect with a reunion. And so we've been able to get just enough to keep the thing going and keep the commitments that we've made to other units. And as long as we're able to keep doing that, we'll keep doing it.
All right, James, so everybody knows, how do they find you? How do they get in touch with you? Where can they find you?
Yeah, the easiest way is through our website, and that's www.warriorreunionfoundation.org. You can find all the information about us there. There's a button right there to contact us, and that would send an email directly to me. And my email is james@warriorreunionfoundation.org. So you can send me an email there as well if you don't want to go to the website. But, yeah, pretty straightforward. The whole thing is right there online.
Got it. All right. Robertson, any final words? And let me ask you this. Conspicuously absent on the invitation list was the guy who made sure that you didn't get medevaced out of Iraq. And that would have been me.
Oh, boy.
Why? First of all, I've been saving this for, I've been biting my tongue for an hour. How the fuck did I not get invited?
Another failure.
All right. There you go. You know what? I'll accept that. Another failure.
Mac, you just got to come to the next one.
You think? Well, you got to be invited, for God's sakes. Robertson, what an ass clown. All right, Dan, on a serious note, anything about what James does, about your reunion, that you would tell other people that are either considering doing this or maybe might be planning something and thinking, geez, maybe I ought to give that guy a call? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think that as much as it, you know, helped us as a unit, I think that anybody that's looking at get together, and since September, I have heard numerous stories about, you know, Vietnam, units from Vietnam, you know, looking to get together, and how sometimes they're, and I just use Vietnam as an example because, you know, a little bit ago,
right.
About how, you know, it was tough to, how do we connect with everybody? How do we get everybody? How do we find everybody? And how do we lay on logistics? All these very, very good questions. And my suggestion would be, you know, talk to Drew, James and Drew, because they have a template that works. They focus on the important things, which is reconnecting in a meaningful way and honoring the fallen. So I think that truly allows you to kind of reconnect with the guys, or, you know, your Marine soldiers, whatever your unit, was. So I would encourage anybody, you know, looking to do this to talk to them, because it really was a great experience. I think the planning, the execution of the event was great. The planning was just as fulfilling. So it was, you know, kind of a several month process, which was great to see it all come to fruition at the end and how much the guys got out of it. So I would say give them a call.
Got it. All right. James, any final thoughts before we finish up?
I appreciate the opportunity to come on here. You know, as you shared, from a marketing budget perspective, we don't have one either. We're all word of mouth. So for those of you out there who might be listening and thinking about doing a reunion, we would love to help you. It's an absolute honor to work with any unit of combat veterans that's looking to reunite. We are just so passionate about this and believe so strongly in the value of it. in really improving people's lives and letting us live our best lives once we take the uniform off, or, you know, even if you're still in, but you're getting back together with people that you served with many years ago. We're here to serve, and we're looking forward to continuing to do that. And for people like Dan who step up and continue to carry that torch of leadership, you know, good for you. Do it. Be that leader that your people need. Give them the motivation to get back together, because it will be for the benefit of everybody that is able to enjoy that experience. And so we're here to support, and please don't hesitate to reach out to us if we can help you reconnect.
You know, again, I would just close this thing with, you know, suicide's an issue, post-combat related mental health is an issue, but we all know from the guys who went before us that the bond that gets created by your military service is a bond that doesn't go away, and to be there for each other as through life's ups and downs is not a small thing. Is not a small thing, and we all have a little part to play in it. Those of us that have been leaders certainly have a part to play. But as we all get older, I think those lines of distinction get blurred, and everybody has a part in supporting each other and helping, and making sure that suicide number gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And the reason it does is because we get stronger. In the way we get together, the way we create bonds, and the way we sustain those things, and that's no secret. That is why the Commandant proclaimed the year of the reunion. James Ferguson with the Warrior Reunion Foundation is a tool now for us all to tap into and to support. And guys like Dan Robertson and his guys are the beneficiaries of it, and won't be a beneficiary for just that weekend or that period of time that they got together, but for the rest of their lives because of the things that happen, the bonds that get created, and the way they did it. It'll, as Dan said, life-changing event. So I give him a tough time. Dan, I want you to come back on again, and we need to redo the interview that we did years ago about your experiences, your experience in Iraq, and your experience with Chance Phelps, because it's a story that more people need to hear, and we need to redo that again. But thank you for coming on, taking time out of your day, and doing this today.
Oh, Mac, great to reconnect with you, and thank you very much for the opportunity, and James, you know, thank you for everything you did for the guys, you and Drew and others. So just happy to be with you guys.
Our pleasure, man. Thank you. Let's make sure we catch up soon.
James, and I'll tell you what, we'll do this again. As you guys have new things going on and reunions come up in the news, you're now the All Marine Radio reunion expert. So welcome to being a consultant in addition to being a CEO and founder. But, hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mac.
There you have it. That is James Ferguson, a former captain, United States Marines, artillery type. Dan Robertson, former captain, United States Marine Corps, artillery type. Two good dudes, still doing good things, and awesome to have him on this morning. The ties that bind, you got to tend to them, and you got to keep everybody hanging in together so that they can be there for each other. We're going to take a break. Mike Musselman will join us next. More of All Marine Radio on a Thursday coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.